Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Allah belong the endowments, befitting perfection and commendations. We ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to protect his nation from that which he feared for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us sincerity, the comprehension, and the reward in the hereafter. Ameen. The belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists without a place is the creed of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, and those who graciously followed them. And it shall be so until the Day of Judgment. The proof of this precious statement is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Holy Quran in Surah Ash-Shura, verse 11, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, which means, there is absolutely nothing like Allah whatsoever, and He has the attributes of hearing and sight. This ayah absolutely clears Allah of resembling the creations. It comprises that Allah Ta'ala is absolutely different from the creations in the self, attributes, and actions. Hence, it shows that Allah Ta'ala exists without a place, because whatever exists in a place is by nature, that is, composed of particles, that is, it is a body occupying a place. Allah Ta'ala is clear from occupying spaces. روى البخاري والبيهقي وابن الجارود أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كان الله ولم يكن شيء غيره. البخاري, البيهقي, and Ibn al-Jarud related that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what means, Allah existed eternally and nothing else existed. This hadith proves that only Allah existed without a beginning, that is, before creating any of the creation. There was nothing with Allah, no place, there was no space, there was no sky, no earth, no light, and not even darkness existed. It is determined in the rules of the religion and the judgments of the sound mind that Allah the Exalted does not change. Hence, it is impossible that after having been existing without a place, Allah will change and dwell in a place, because this is a development. The development is a sign of needing others, and the one who needs others is not God. ونقل الإمام أبو منصور البغدادي في كتابه الفرق بين الفرق أن الإمام علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه قال كان الله ولا مكان وهو الآن على ما عليه كان. إمام أبو منصور البغدادي related in his book الفرق بين الفرق that Imam Ali, the fourth of the caliphs, may Allah Ta'ala reward him and raise his rank, said, Allah existed eternally and there was no place, and He now is as He was, that is, without a place. And Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, who is one of the authorities of Salaf, said in his book, Al-Fiqh Al-Absat, Allah existed eternally and there was no place. He existed before creating the creation. He existed and there was no place, creation or thing. He is the creator of everything. Imam Hafidh al-Bayhaqi said in his book, Al-Asma'u wa-Sifat, on page 400, what was mentioned towards the end of the hadith is an evidence for negating that Allah has a place and negating that the slave is alike to Allah. Allah the Exalted is a Zahir. Hence, it is valid to know about Him by proofs. Allah is Al-Batin, hence, it is invalid that He dwells in a place. Al-Bayhaqi further added, some of our companions used as a proof to refute attributing the place to Allah the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are a Zahir and there is nothing above you, and you are Al-Batin and there is nothing underneath you. Therefore, if there is nothing above him and nothing underneath him, he is not in a place. And Imam Ahmad ibn Salama, Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, who was born in the year 237 after Hijrah, this means that he was from the scholars of the Salaf, he wrote a very famous book called Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, and he mentioned that the content of his book is an explanation of the creed of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is the creed of Imam Abu Hanifa al-Nu'man rahimahullah, who died in the year 150 after Hijrah, and his two companions, Imam Abu Yusuf al-Qadi and Imam Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani, and others. He said in his book, تعالى عن الحدود والغايات والأركان والأعضاء والأدوات لا تحويه الجهات الست كسائر المبتدعات, which means Allah is supremely clear of all boundaries, extremes, sides, organs and instruments. The six directions do not contain him, for these are attributed to all created things. Abu Ja'far explicitly stated that Allah Ta'ala is clear of being contained by the six directions. The six directions are above, below, ahead, behind, right and left. The linguist and scholar of Hadith, Imam Muhammad Murtada al-Zabidi, narrated by a continuous chain from himself back to Imam Zainul Abidin, Ali, the son of Al-Husayn, who was the son of Ali, the son of Abu Talib, who was among the best of Salaf, and earned the title of As-Sajjad, that is, the one who prays a lot. Zainul Abidin, in his treatise, As-Sahif As-Sajjadiyya, said about Allah, سبحانك أنت الله الذي لا يحويك مكان, which means, O Allah, you are clear of all imperfection. You are Allah, and no place contains you. He also said, سبحانك أنت الله الذي لست بمحدود, which means, O Allah, you are clear of all imperfection, and boundaries do not apply to you. In the explanation of Al-Bukhari, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said, the fact that the two directions, above and below, are impossible to be attributes of Allah, does not necessitate that Allah would not be attributed with aboveness, al-ulu, because attributing aboveness to Allah is a matter of status, meaning that Allah is high in status, and the impossibility lies in it being physical. The Hanafi scholar Zainuddin, the son of Nujaym, in his book Al-Bahru Ra'iq on page 129 said, whoever says it is possible for Allah to do a doing which has no wisdom exits Islam. Moreover, he becomes a non-believer by affirming a place to Allah the Exalted. Imam Ahmad al-Rifa'i al-Kabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and rahimahullah, who lived around the year 600 after Hijrah, said, غاية المعرفة بالله الإيقان بوجوده تعالى بلا كيف ولا مكان, which means, the ultimate knowledge about Allah is to be certain that Allah exists without a how or a place. And Imam Muhammad ibn Hibah al-Makki wrote a book called حدائق الفصول وجواهر العقول. It came to be known as Al-Aqidatu Salahiyyah after he gave it as a gift to Sultan Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi rahimahullah ta'ala, who ordered that this book be taught to the children in schools and broadcast from the top of the minarets. In his book he said, قد كان موجودا ولا مكانا وحكمه الآن على ما كان, which means Allah existed eternally and there was no place, and the judgment about his existence now is that he is as he was, that is, without a place. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, rahimahullah ta'ala, who was also among the scholars of the Salaf, said, He who claims that Allah is in anything, or on anything, or from anything, commits shirk, becomes a non-believer, because if he was in anything, he would be contained, and if he was on anything, he would be carried, and if he was from anything, he would be a creature. Shaykh Abdul Ghani An-Nabulsi said, "He who believes that Allah fills the heavens and earth, or that he is a body sitting above the Arsh, which is the ceiling of paradise known as the throne, is a non-believer." Furthermore, Imam Fakhruddin, the son of Asakir, said in his Aqidah, "Allah existed before the creation. He does not have a before or an after, an above or a below, a right or a left, an ahead or a behind, a whole or a part. It must not be said, when was he, where was he, or how was he? Allah exists without a place. He created the universe and willed for the existence of time. He is not bound by time, nor designated with place." Imam Abu Sulaiman Al-Khattabi said, "What is obligatory upon us and upon every Muslim to know is that our Lord has no shape or form, because the shape has a how, and how does not apply to Allah or His attributes. So know beyond doubt that the question how, kayf, does not apply to Allah. How is a question related to shapes, bodies, places, depths, and dimensions. Allah is clear of all such attributes. Also be firm that it is invalid to say about Allah, but we do not know how. Because in essence, it falsely indicates that Allah has a color, has a shape, dimensions, body and place, but one is simply ignorant of its how." Some people falsely attribute to Allah the attributes of imperfection, such as having bodily attributes. Then they say, "But we don't know how. We don't know the reality of it." This does not prevent them from exiting Islam. As Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, what means, "Whoever says that Allah is a body, but not like our bodies, is a non-believer." Imam al-Ghazali said, "Allah the Exalted existed eternally and there was no place. He is not a body, jawhar, which means minute indivisible particle, or bodily property, and he is not on a place or in a place." All of these sayings show that attributing the physical aboveness and the place to Allah is contrary to the Quran, the Hadith, and the Ijma', the scholarly consensus, and the intellectual proof. The intellectual proof that Allah exists without a place lies in the fact that God has the attributes of perfection. Needing others is not an attribute of perfection. The one who occupies place needs that place. The one who needs others, whether it is a place or any other creation, is not God and does not deserve to be worshipped. Moreover, as the mind determines that Allah existed without a place before creating places, the mind also determines that after Allah created the places, He still exists without a place. So why do we face our palms towards the sky when we make dua? The scholars like Imam Ahmad al-Rifa'i radiyallahu anhu determined that lifting the hands and the faces towards the sky when performing dua, supplication, is because the heavens are the qibla of dua, the direction for the dua, just as the Kaaba is the qibla of salah. From the heavens, the mercies and blessings of Allah Ta'ala descend. Dear listeners, it is clear for the one who seeks the truth that the saying that Allah exists without a place is what complies with the Holy Quran, the Hadith, the Ijma' and criteria of the sound intellect. Be firm and certain that before creating places, Allah who created everything, places and everything else, existed without a place, and after creating places, Allah still exists without a place. Since we have determined that the creed of the Muslims is that Allah exists without a place, And that the question how, كيف, does not apply to Allah, it is clear to us that the Arsh, the throne, which is the largest of all the creations in size, and the ceiling of paradise, is not a place for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Abu Mansurin al-Baghdadi related that Imam Ali, the son of Abu Talib, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the fourth caliph, said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَلَقَ الْعَرْشَ إِظْهَارًا لِقُدْرَتِهِ وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذْهُ مَكَانًا لِذَاتِهِ, which means, Allah created the Arsh, the throne, as a sign and indication of His power, and did not take it as a place for Himself. And Imam Abu Hanifa al-Nu'man, rahimahullahu ta'ala, may Allah have mercy upon him, said in his book, Al-Wasiyyah, and He, meaning Allah, is the preserver of the Arsh and everything else, without needing them, for had He been in need, He would not have the power to create, to manage, and preserve the world. Moreover, had He been in a place, needing to sit and rest before creating the Arsh, where was Allah? That is, the question, where was Allah, would have applied to Him, which is impossible. Also in his book, Al-Fiqh Al-Absat, Imam Abu Hanifa said, Allah existed eternally and there was no place. He existed before creating the creation. He existed and there was not a place, creation or thing. And He is the creator of everything. He who says, I do not know if my Lord is in the heavens or on earth, is a non-Muslim. Also is a non-Muslim, whoever says that, He is on the Arsh, on the throne, and I do not know whether the Arsh is in the heaven or on earth. Consequently, Imam Ahmad declared that whoever says these last two phrases is also a non-Muslim, because they contain attributing a direction to Allah Ta'ala. They contain attributing a boundary and place to Allah Ta'ala. Everything that has a direction and boundary is by necessity in need of a creator. Thus, it is not the intention of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, to prove that the heaven and Arsh are places for Allah, as those who liken Allah to the creation claim. This is by virtue of the aforementioned saying of the Imam. Had he been in a place needing to sit and rest, then before creating the Arsh, where was Allah? Which is clear in negating that Allah has a direction or a place. In his book, Ihya Ulum al-Din, Imam al-Ghazali said, places do not contain Allah, nor do the directions, earth or heavens. He is attributed with an istiwa over the Arsh, as he said in the Holy Quran, with the meaning that he willed, and not as what people may delude. It is an istiwa, which is clear of touching, resting, holding, moving, and containment. The Arsh does not carry him, but rather the Arsh and those who carry it are all carried by the power of Allah, and they are subjugated to him. He is above the Arsh, the heavens, and everything in status, with an aboveness that does not give him proximity to the Arsh or the heavens, as it does not give him farness from earth. He is higher in status than everything, higher in status than the Arsh and the heavens, as he is higher in status than earth and the rest of the creation. Shaykh Abdul Ghani al-Nabulsi said, he who believes that Allah filled the heavens and earth, or that he is a body sitting above the Arsh, is a non-Muslim. Imam al-Razi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, said, in explaining Ayah 93 of Surat Maryam, and since it is affirmed by this Ayah that everything that existed in the heavens and earth is a slave of Allah, that is, owned by and subjugating to Allah, and since it is obligatory that Allah is clear of being owned, thus He is clear of being in a place or direction or on the Arsh or Kursi. Hence, Ayah 5 of Surah Taha in the Quran, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, clearly does not mean that Allah sits on the Arsh or that Allah is firmly established on the Arsh. In the Arabic language, the word istiwa has 15 different meanings, among which are to sit, subjugate, protect, conquer, and preserve. Based on what we have covered so far, it is obvious that it is blasphemous to apply the meaning to sit to Allah. However, the terms to preserve and to subjugate are in compliance with the religion and the Arabic language. Imam Hafidh ibn Rajab al-Hanbali explained the meaning of istiwa as istila, which means subjugating. That is, Allah attributed himself with subjugating the arsh in eternity, the status of existing without a beginning, that is, before creating the creation, since the arsh, the largest creation of Allah in size, is subjugated to Allah, then everything else which is smaller than the arsh is under the control of Allah. It was affirmed about Imam Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah, and may Allah increase his honor and status, in what Al-Bayhaqi related with a sound chain from the root of Abdullah ibn Wahab, that we were at Malik's when a man entered and said, O Abu Abdullah, meaning Imam Malik, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshi istawa, how was his istiwa? Malik looked down dismayed and he lifted his head and said, Ala al-Arshi istawa, as he attributed to himself. It is invalid to say how, and how does not apply to Allah. I see that you are an innovator, and ordered him to leave. Hence the saying of Imam Malik, how does not apply to him, means that his istiwa over the arsh is without a how, that is, it is not with a body, place, shape, or form like sitting, touching, suspending above, and the like. Hence, there is no basis for the saying of those who liken Allah to the creation, which they falsely attribute to Imam Malik, that istiwa is known and the how of it is unknown. This saying of theirs is invalid, because sitting, no matter how it is, will be by organs and body parts that fold. Moreover, the statement claiming that Imam Malik attributed a how to Allah is a fabrication. Imam al-Lalika'i narrated about Salama and Rabi'a ibn Abd al-Rahman. Al-istiwa'u ghayru majhul, wal-kayfu ghayru ma'qul, which means, the attribute of istiwa is not unknown, because it is mentioned in the Holy Qur'an. The kayf, that is, its how, is inconceivable, because its applicability to Allah is impossible. Hence, the hadiths and the ayahs that attribute aboveness to Allah refer to the aboveness of status and not the aboveness of place, distance, direction, touching or suspending. In Surah Al-An'am, verse 61, Allah said, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, which means, He, Allah, is the one who subjugates His slaves. Hence, the term فوق used in this verse refers to the subjugation and not to a place or a direction. The Mushabbiha are those who liken Allah to the creation. They believe Allah resembles the creation. They attribute to Allah places, directions, shapes, and bodies, and they try to camouflage it by saying, however, we do not know how his place is, or how his sitting is, or how his face is, or how his shin is, or how his light is, walayadhu billahi ta'ala. All of that does not clear them from blasphemy, because Allah is not composed of body parts and does not resemble the creation in any way whatsoever, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, be aware of what appeared in the so-called translation of the Holy Quran by Yusuf Ali and the so-called revised version, where on page 879, in interpreting Ayah 5 in Surah Taha, Ar-Rahmanu, ala al-Arshi istawa, they say, the Most Gracious is firmly established on the throne. And in the footnote, they explicitly say, who encompasses all creation and sits on the throne, wal-a'adhu billahi ta'ala. Similarly, be aware of all the other parts of this book which liken Allah to His creation. Like on page 1799, where in Ayah 42 of Surah Al-Qalam, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقُ, they attribute a shin to Allah, While the term ساق in this verse means hardship. Hence the ayah means, the judgment day will be a day of anguish and hardship for the blasphemers. And on page 1015, in interpreting Surah An-Nur, verse 35, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, they say, Allah is the light. And in the footnote they say explicitly, we can only think of Allah in terms of our phenomenal experience. So my dear brothers and sisters, be aware and know that Allah Ta'ala cannot be imagined. This verse means that Allah is the creator of the light of guidance for the inhabitants of the heavens, who are the angels, and the believing inhabitants of the earth amongst the humans and the jinn, as was explained by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Another translation of the Qur'an was published under the name of the Noble Qur'an. The two translators followed the methodology of the Mushabbiha, the likeness of Allah Ta'ala to His creation, in translating the meanings of the Mutashabih verses. They attribute to Allah different bodily parts. This is evident on page 81, footnote, verse 3, Surah 73. In the end, we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to keep us steadfast on the religion of Islam. Praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the one who is clear of resembling the creation. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala knows best.